Philippians 2 up to 1 to 16. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my job by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Martin. There's one unscripted part of tonight's talk, and that is that I'm very happy to announce that I have the Britney mic this evening. It's something that I've been looking forward to for a long time, and very proud, very honored to share the same microphone that Britney Spears once used. So anyway, that was the unscripted part. The rest is from a piece of paper. So good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a pleasure to be talking to you this evening. Thanks to Mitch over there, my roommate, and gluten-free, especially gluten-free roommate. We are both gluten-free. It's wonderful. thanks to him, anyway. We covered Philippians 1 in good fashion last week, and now I hope to bring us through Philippians 2. So I hope that you will be able to see a little bit of my heart for this passage of Scripture. I believe that from this chapter of the book of Philippians, we can hear God's eternal purpose for the church to be united, and also that this would be based on the foundation of the church's intertwined unity with Christ. So my teaching this evening will be split roughly into two areas. The first area will be to do with our identity with Christ, and then the second bit will be about the identity with Christ and its effect upon our unity in the church. So if you will, please would you join me in imagining the Apostle Paul writing to a group of Roman army veterans and native Greeks in the city of Philippi, a Roman colony, which is in present-day Macedonia. And since this letter was written in AD 62, we are still over 250 years away from the conversion of the Roman Empire to Christianity and the ceasing of the persecution of Christians. And it is within this setting that we find that the Church of Philippi, planted by the Apostle Paul, is led by a woman, Lydia, so an advocate for women in leadership, who, along with her family, were the first converts of that city. That was a serious theological statement. Chapter 1 of Philippians ends with Paul's exhortation that the believers remain steadfast whilst facing opposition from preachers who preach Christ as a means to incite trouble for the believers. In fact, as Mitch preached last week, or as you probably went through your Bible study, Paul calls them to live lives worthy of the gospel. Paul then begins chapter 2 with a therefore. So if you want to, then you could read the beginning of chapter 2, not as therefore, but the first few words you could say, for that reason, which for me makes the following reading a lot simpler and a lot clearer. So what is Paul saying? Well, it sounds to me something like this. Since you are facing opposition from preachers who are inciting trouble for you, I urge you to consider the encouragement from being united with Christ. Moreover, consider the comfort of his love. Consider how you share in his spirit. And consider all the tenderness and compassion that comes from being united with him. So this is my first point this evening, that we must consider our unity with Christ. The unity we have with Christ is the kind spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, if anyone is in Christ, then he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The unity we have in Christ then gives us a new life. In addition, your life isn't just new, but actually it belongs to Christ. In the book of Romans, which is a great book, fantastic theology, really important if you're a new Christian, if you're searching for answers in your faith, wonderful place to go to. We are taught that we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to Christ. What's more, in the book of Galatians, another smaller book in the New Testament, it says that you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. So there can be no question about who you are or whose you are. For in Christ you are also a child of God. Therefore, seeing that you are united with Christ, enjoy the comfort of his love. Enjoy the sharing of his spirit. Enjoy his tenderness towards you. Enjoy his compassion towards you. These are all things that Paul mentions that we have with Christ in verse 1 of chapter 2, thanks to our unity with him. So as I was preparing for this talk, I had the thought that maybe we could all do with reminding ourselves of what it means to be united with Christ. And tonight, I think that it is on all of us to take that journey as a community together. This is why later we are going to have a short time of worship and also say the creed together, to remind ourselves of our lives in Christ and of the truth that we are called to live in communion with one another. And then, with the same breath that Paul reminds the believers of their unity with Christ, Paul goes on to exhort them to be of one mind and spirit, which is my second point to you this evening. You also should do likewise. You also should be of one mind and one spirit. Unity. Don't be like the preachers from Philippians chapter 1 who preached the gospel from false motives to cause trouble for the real believers. Instead, in what you do or say, think about your brothers and sisters in your college or in your department, at home, in your home church, wherever you may be. The preachers who cause trouble for others are only interested in themselves. But like the believers of Philippi, you are called to do nothing out of selfish ambition, to do nothing out of vain conceit, to value others above yourselves, to not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Paul is asking the Philippian church to be the complete opposite of its enemies. And it is that calling for the Philippian believers that still stands for us today, to be united. Think unity. Think the body of Christ. In Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2, actually, there are only verses 1 and 2 in that psalm. It's a very short psalm. It says, this is from the Passion Translation, which I love very much. So this is for you, Aidan. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. The sacred scented oil is an oil of blessing and of holiness. I think it's the same oil which comes from the Holy of Holies, and it's the oil which I believe is the Holy Spirit for us today. We are I don't know if you know this, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit in the same way that there used to be a temple for God to dwell in with the Israelites back in the Old Testament. And this oil, this presence of the Lord, this blessing from God is to be desired. It's, you know, it's precious, it's sacred, the psalmist writes. It's actually King David. And King David compares this rich blessing to something. What does he compare this blessing to? Well, it's to the unity of brothers and sisters who live with one another. In other words, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, if you want it, actually there's another way that can be achieved, and that's actually through unity with each other. I know that we often all seek encounters with the Holy Spirit, and it often can be a spiritual high in our lives. And King David here is saying that you can achieve that, you can have that all the time through unity with each other. I think that's a really powerful motivation to seek unity with one another. King David is saying that the rich, sacred blessing that is poured down upon Aaron is the same in worth as our unity together. Now, going back to considering others more important than yourselves. Well, this call of thinking of others above yourself feels rather bruising, I think. It bruises my ego, it bruises the I, it bruises the self. How, I ask myself, can I accomplish this? One of my favorite people in the earth is a friend that I met on an intensive Christian discipleship course. His name is Luke Pender. And the reason why I love him so much is because for the first couple of weeks after we had finished the course together, we had these amazing chats on the phone about faith and about Christianity, about how we do our lives. And one time I asked him how it was that he came to be able to encourage people so well. This is something I greatly admired about him. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing a little here from my memory, when I see my brother or sister, I see me. I rejoice in his successes because he is united with Christ, just like I am. And so when Christ in him or her succeeds, so do I. I think that's a wonderful way to look at our brothers and sisters. To be able to say, yes, come on, you can do it. To be so secure in your own identity with Christ that whatever good exists in your life or his or her life, you know that it's because of Jesus in you and Jesus in them. So, as Paul said to the Philippians, I say to you, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. In fact, look to the interests of others first. Look to the interests of Christ. Consider Jesus' example, the Anointed One, the one he has set before us. Let his mind be your mind also. And look at the fruit, at what such a mind leads to. We get this from the hymn of Christ, and just briefly, this is the kind of fruit that we can expect from having the mind of Christ that puts others above ourselves. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus became a servant. Jesus became human. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus became vulnerable and revealed as a man. Jesus was obedient until his death. Jesus died a criminal's death on the cross. And as is fitting, God has exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. Since Jesus was able to lay down his own right, to seize his own divinity, we too can lay down our right to put ourselves before others. We too can abandon every selfish display that will cause trouble for our brothers and sisters. So with holy awe of God, with fear and trembling, make sure that you allow your unity with Christ that is so deeply within you to work its way out all the way through your heart and your mind, leading to a change in your attitude and your behavior towards your brothers and sisters. And do this remembering that God is the one who's working in you. It's from him that all good flows. That is something that I need to remind myself of daily. So again, remember, one, do all things without murmuring and arguing. Two, be blameless and innocent. Three, shine like stars in the world, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. For this is what it looks like to be of one spirit and mind based on a common identity with Christ. That's what I have to say to you this evening. And now you're going to be able to have the time and opportunity to discuss this in your small groups. So before you do that, I'll pray and then you can go and divide yourselves. Lord, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you for the example that you laid before us. Whatever mind, whatever thoughts and beliefs and heart attitudes that led you to taking up your cross, Jesus, we want that same mind, that same heart. We want to put the interests of others before ourselves. And Lord, as we speak, I pray we'd have freedom to say what we really think. Pray that we would be able to rub against each other to find better answers than the ones that we brought with us this evening. So Lord, would you bless us, your Holy Spirit, be with us the rest of this evening. Amen.